Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Job chapter 9. I am going to try to be expedient tonight, and I appreciate and love all of the elements of our services, and but we do want to get to a little bit of preaching, amen? And we'll do that this evening here in Job chapter 9. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. Just the last 11 verses here, beginning in verse 25, we will read down through verse 35 here in Job chapter 9. I'll read out loud. You can follow along in your Bibles. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in a ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hands upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. So as Job continues his rebuttal to his friend Bildad, the Shuhite, he is, of course, resting in or resting on the unchangeable attributes of God. Okay, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this, but I want you to realize that Job is admitting his frailty as a man, his frailty as a human being, his inability to, if you will, bear all of these difficulties, okay? He's also admitting that the things in this life are temporal. The success, the wealth, even if you will, life, if you will, he just experienced the loss of his children. So he understands that. One day he was healthy, if you will, and the next day he's covered in boils, you know? And so he understands the vanity, as Solomon so adequately explained in Ecclesiastes, the vanity of life. And he continues now. He was talking about before, earlier in the chapter, about how can we reason with God? How can we go up against his judgment or what he deems to be judgment? Who are we to question him? Who are we to say, God, you should not have put this in my life. You should not have done this. What case do we have, right? And honestly, that's just the truth of it. We need to understand that in these times of life, whether they're deserved or undeserved, okay, can I put it to you that way? What I mean by deserved is we knowingly have done something. And we're reaping the rewards, or not rewards. We're reaping the punishment or the what's coming up because of that. Okay, I don't, whatever has sprung up. Okay, I'm not going to call it good because we don't think it's not going to be good, right? But what's that? Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. How'd you know that? The consequences. That's exactly right. There are consequences to life's decisions. But sometimes these are fiery trials meant to purify us. And it's not because of wrongdoing, but it's that God wants to maybe mold us or shape us or get something out of us that's not there. Folks, there are things that we have to develop. I am not a naturally patient person. I know you wouldn't ever think that of me, okay? I'm really not. When I was younger, I had quite a temper. Now, thankfully, I've been able to
tone that down. And those of you that know me, you're like, man, if that's toned down, I wouldn't want to know what the other one was. but you know, God has had to put some circumstances in my life to help me with that. And so you understand that there's a whole different variety of reasons why God does things. And what we're going to learn here at the end of this chapter is Job is reminding himself and his friends that we cannot be too quick to judge why God is allowing these things to take place in our lives. And that these things happen, we learned last time, both to the wicked and to the righteous. And so we understand these things, but he starts out here in verse 25 and 26. He talks about things that are quickly fleeting. All right. We were talking about this word post here. Brother Losi, you and I were talking about this. And it is what you thought it was. You understand that there are things, this has to do with a plant life. It's something that springs up quickly and then withers away quickly. It's fleeting. It doesn't last. In our Bibles, we're told about how the grass, right, it springs up today. It's been cast in the oven and done away with. And, Job, remember, not Job, I'm sorry, the other guy, Jonah, he had the gourd that came up and then it withered away and he was angry with God about it. Folks, listen, things in our life are fleeting. It says that his days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. And it says they are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. He says life is brief. And as Solomon said, it's, you know, it's full of sorrow here under the sun. That's just a fact. It's a fact. And I've told you before that if salvation was the only, it was the conclusion of life, that someone gets saved, then why would God leave us here? This is a cursed place. I mean, heaven ought to be sounding sweeter to you every day, right? You ought to be longing for heaven. Looking forward to the time where you can be united with your Savior in a place where there's no sorrow, no tears, no death. And we ought to be longing for that, right? And listen, that doesn't mean that we just throw away the life that we have to live here, because salvation is not the end all. There is something more to life. And by the way, I'll stand by this. I've told you that life begins at salvation. That's when life begins. When we're born again, then we can live for Christ and we can live for God and all those things. But the fact is, life is brief. We know it's but a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanisheth away. But they are, if you will, quickly passing. And then look at verse 27. He says, if I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. He says, I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. Now, this is kind of interesting. He says, if I just quit and I just stop my complaint, stop my argument, stop my grieving and all this thing that I'm going through, he said, you're still going to be convinced that I'm a wicked backslider, that I'm a hypocrite, and that I've left God. And he's kind of taking a jab at his friends here that says that won't appease you either. Because, you know, so far Eliphaz and both Eliphaz and Bildad have been critical of Job for his great grief and his expression of his emotions and his expression of his feelings. And he says, if I say I will forget my complaint, if I leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, he says, I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. He said, if I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? What a great statement there. I think sometimes in reading scripture, we gloss over some of these things. But he says this, he says, if I'm so bad, guys, why am I worried about pleasing you? I mean, think about that. That's a great statement. He's like, if I'm such a hypocrite, and I'm such a backslider, and I'm such an evil man, a wicked man that's deserving, if you will, of all this judgment. Because think about it, if we're going to play the judgment game here with Job, he must have been really bad to have all of his wealth taken away, to have all of his children taken away, to have his health taken away, and really to have any kind of social status or credibility in the community taken away, because his friends are now accusing him of being a hypocrite. He must have been an awful, awful, awful person. And let me put it to you this way. I use this argument many times in my own existence. I'm like, I ask people, I say, why is it that you feel like we need all these rules for guns in our community? I said, do you realize criminals don't follow rules? So if you have a sign on your door that says no guns, you think the criminals are saying, oh, you know what? They have a sign. We're not going to bring our guns in here. No, you're stupid. You're dumb as a rock. Are you kidding me? Okay, anyways, I just had to get that off my chest. All right. This is the same thing. Why would a wicked, evil, horrible person try to make himself look good? He wouldn't care. He wouldn't even care. And Job says this, and listen, this is an overlooked verse. He says, if I be wicked, then why labor I in vain? And what a great question, folks. Listen, our sin ought to drive us to God. It ought to drive us to be right with God. We know 1 John tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why? Because we don't want to be wicked. We want to be right with God. So we should willingly and in success come to Him and receive that cleansing. And so God wants to us to be that way. He goes on in verse 30. He says, if I wash myself with snow water, which I think is wonderful. How many of you, you know snow water, right? That's great stuff. And by the way, back then, they didn't have, you know, purifying type things. So snow water was about as good as it got, you know. You get to collect that stuff, it melts off, and you got this beautiful water, etc. And such and so forth. And he says, if I wash myself with snow water, he said, and make my hands never so clean. He says, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. He's like, even if I wash myself, you're just going to toss me back in the ditch, and I'm going to be muddy again. I'm going to be dirty again, because you're not going to let this go. Let me tell you something, folks. When it comes to forgiveness, and it comes to God forgiving us, and us forgiving others, it's gone. Don't be throwing people back in the ditch. Why won't you just let it be forgiven? Let the past be the past. You know, and sometimes what Job is saying, look, the attitude that you have toward me, Eliphaz, the attitude that you have toward me, Bildad, is one where you're not going to let this go, even if I absolve myself of all these things. You're still going to have this attitude toward me. And it's going to be, it's not going to change anything. It says, look here, it says, for he is not a man, as I am, that I should answer him, speaking of God, and we should come together in judgment. He says, neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. So he's telling him, look, you guys are completely on the wrong track here. And you've got to understand that God is our mediator. God is our go-between. God is the one that is the judge of all things. And we must allow God his judgment. And we're not the ones that are making the decision. God is. And sometimes what Job is speaking to here in this, the end of this chapter, is the self-righteous indignation of his friends. They are so convinced and so sure that he's guilty, that even if he turns out not to be guilty, they're still going to think he's guilty. Now, folks, we can't afford to play that game, if you will. We've got to leave judgment into the hands of God Almighty. And we need to be for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to, if you will, as the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. And that's what Job is talking about. And we're going to get to a little bit more of this, because he speaks of his weariness of life again in chapter 10. But I want you to understand that God wants us to be reconciled to him, but God wants us to trust him if it's a fiery trial or a temptation, and to understand there are those two different ideas as far as judgment is concerned, or the things that come into our lives that seem like judgment. And we've got to remember that God is the one in control. But I like what Job says in verse 35. He says, then would I speak and not fear him. But I want you to realize, what is Job? He's a perfect, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. What did he say? He said, if this were so, he said, then would I speak and not fear him. This gives us a clue that Job has retained his integrity, because he says, but it is not so with me. He says, I still fear God. And I still know that he, whatever is happening, it's God is in control of it, and I still reverence him. And folks, we've got to keep that attitude in our lives, that we can just look at our friends and say, look, if you think this about me, this is not true. This is not so with me. I'm going to be what I am before God Almighty.